There are communities south of the U.S.-Mexican border which are as lawless and war-torn as some of the war-torn communities in Syria. The U.S.-Mexico drug war, in which U.S. demand for drugs brings cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and methamphetamine north in return for weapons and money that flows south to fuel a war over power between the government and the cartels. According to the official numbers, some 27,000 people have disappeared in Mexico since 2007. Mexico's weak judicial system is simply overwhelmed by drug-related crimes. Witnesses like filmmaker Bernardo Ruiz say victims and their families are locked in a conflict in which violence is everywhere and safety nowhere. Ruiz's new POV documentary, airing on PBS, is called Kingdom of Shadows.
For me, it wasn't so much a narco film as it was another film in my interrogation of the U.S.-Mexico relationship. And so what I wanted to do in the film was just really do something very simple in a way, and that is to look at how this conflict that's claimed so many lives, how it's impacted the lives of three people on the front lines of the war.
And, you know, in the Monterrey territory, one of the most brutal places in this whole conflict, where it's all about the war between the Zetas and the Gulf cartel, right in the middle of that, is one of your main characters. Tell me about her.
She's Sister Consuelo Morales, who's this dogged human rights defender. What I love about her is that she's not just a kind of heroic, two-dimensional person. She's this very complex woman who is standing down either corrupt officials or officials who are not doing their jobs in investigating the disappearance of citizens of Monterrey. A local journalist in Monterrey had a kind of perfect way to describe her. He describes her as a combination of tenderness and fury. She's someone who's consoling and accompanying the family members as they look for answers of their disappeared. And she's also pushing state officials to do something about the disappeared.
Generalmente, la gente tiene alguien.
Almost everyone knows someone who's gone missing, and they know that this person wasn't involved in organized crimes. The vast majority are women looking for their loved ones. They are wives, mothers, daughters, sisters.
Who were the disappeared, and how does Sister Morales help them?
Well, you know, according to Amnesty, there are at least 27,000 disappeared since 2007. It's roughly the period when the former president of Mexico, Felipe Calderón, took power and declared this frontal war on organized crime groups. But of course, many activists and journalists believe that number to be much higher. In the case of Monterrey, as you described, there was this turf war between the Gulf Cartel, which is a more traditional, old school organized crime entity, and the Zetas, who were their former enforcers, who essentially defected and formed a rival organization. That bloody turf war resulted in the deaths and disappearance of countless Monterrey citizens. Oftentimes, it's people being in the wrong place at the wrong time, in a place where there's this climate of fear and general impunity. You know, if you're texting someone on your phone, you could simply be texting someone, or you could be a lookout for a rival organized crime group. So what we saw in Monterrey in the period right after I filmed was hundreds of people, thousands according to the organization that Consuelo worked with, disappear. And in many cases, organized crime left no trace.
Is part of this the realization that in the 21st century, it's not just the drugs that have the power or the money that, you know, has the power. It's the guns.
I think there's no question that the arms travel south, the drugs flow north. You know, the U.S. is the largest market for illicit narcotics in the world, according to many different people. But I think more than arms, it's also the question of training. You know, fascinatingly, the Zetas, you know, their core members were people who defected from the Mexican military, from an elite unit in the Mexican military, some of whom received training in the United States. That's very well documented.
Well, one of the facts that you talk about that this film tries to illuminate is presented by an employee of U.S. Homeland Security in El Paso, Texas.
We, as Americans, you know, tend to look at Mexico as, oh, you know, those guys are flooding our streets with drugs and they're flooding our economy with illicit money. But, you know, you really wouldn't have that problem if there wasn't demand. We're the country with the highest consumption of illegal narcotics in the world. And so we have a lot to do with that, too.
Who is that speaking?
That's a Homeland Security investigator, Oscar Hagelsieb, who's a resident of the border. His parents crossed the U.S.-Mexico border without papers, and he was born in the U.S. as a U.S. citizen, actually joined the Border Patrol and began deporting people just like his parents, but was a very effective agent as an undercover person. He's one of the guardians of the border. He's one of the people who is patrolling the border and at one point infiltrating organized crime groups in the northern Mexican region.
Your film was backed by a stakeholder in this whole conflict. Tell me that story.
So one of my executive producers is Jimena Martí, and her brother was kidnapped in 2008. She comes from a prominent, wealthy Mexican family. Her father is a sporting goods chain magnate. And when her younger brother was kidnapped, the family had the resources to pay a very large ransom. Despite paying this ransom, the boy was not returned. And a few weeks after paying the ransom, his body was discovered in the trunk of a vehicle in Mexico City, a really horrific event. Jimena Martí, my executive producer, and the rest of her family got together and said, if this is what's happening to us, and we are so well connected, and we really do have resources, what's happening to ordinary citizens in Mexico?
What does she say to you a film like this can possibly achieve?
I think the biggest issue is looking at the interconnected relationship between the U.S. and Mexico and the way in which harm can be generated when we're not paying attention. It's so funny, we're in an election season. You know, once again, the U.S.-Mexico border and Mexico has become a kind of punching bag, and there are lots of emotional arguments. But if we go back to a kind of fact-based discussion and we just acknowledge the reality of the relationship between the two countries, you know, Mexico is the third largest trading partner of the U.S., 10% of the U.S. population claims heritage to Mexico. You know, these ties are not going to be ripped apart. So if we start looking at what is really happening, what the connections actually are, we might then begin to think about ways to strengthen human rights in Mexico and maybe talk about the market for illicit narcotics as a, you know, thinking about it as a public health issue here in the United States.
Bernardo Ruiz is director of Kingdom of Shadows, a POV offering on PBS stations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kingdom of Shadows airs tonight on PBS's POV series. Check your local listings.